Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We are taking a text from Luke chapter number 5. And we will read from verse 8. Luke chapter 5, verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Please underline Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Please underline the word Lord. You have underlined two words, the knees and then the Lord. Our subject is the prayer net of consecration. You know the story in Luke chapter 5 where Peter fished all night and caught nothing, but in the morning Jesus came around and gave him two instructions: launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. Now Peter responded, and the Bible says that he caught so much fish that the boats were being overwhelmed by the fishes. So verse 8, where we read, is a reaction of Peter to the miracle, to what Jesus has done, to the plenty fishes that he had caught. The Bible says that he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The net that Jesus Christ said Peter should let down refers to the kingdom of God. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like unto a net. But Jesus Christ used the plural rendition of this word. He said nets. That meant that Peter had more than one net. But we know that Peter put in only a single net into the sea. So we infer that Jesus was not talking about a literal net, but he was talking about something else. We believe he's talking about the kingdom of God, which we are to take and throw into the sea of life so that we can access the blessings of the sea, or what God has put into life that believers are to enjoy. We are already provided for. Hallelujah. So the net can be understood as kingdom prayer, because we know that Jesus Christ in this scripture was somewhat teaching about prayer also. So Peter's response teaches us that he was somewhat teaching about prayer. So we must understand prayer as a net that we throw into the sea of life to be able to get the things that God has got for us. So you must understand also that there are various types of nets. You cannot just use one net to catch all types of fishes. There are some fishes, or some blessings, if you like, in life that you need a particular type of prayer, a particular net, to be able to assess them. If you look at fisher folks, they don't use the same net to catch tuna which they use to catch shrimps. I mean, various nets and the type of fish that they catch. So when Jesus said that let down your nets, plural, he was talking about the fact that you should pray with all manner of prayer in the sea of life so that you will get the right blessing into your life. Sometimes we throw one net and we want blessing, but it shouldn't be like that. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "I pray with all manner of prayer." Pray with all types of prayer, okay? So we know that the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 6 taught us seven types of prayer through the Lord's Prayer. Indeed, every phrase of the Lord's Prayer is a type of prayer Jesus was teaching unto us. If you look at the structure of the Lord's Prayer, it can be broken into the part that talks about God or belongs to God. So the first part where he says, "Our Father," you know it belongs to God. "Who art in heaven," it belongs to God, right? "Hallowed be thy name," it belongs to God. He's talking about his name. "And thy kingdom come," is talking about his kingdom, not our kingdom. It belongs to God. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it belongs to God. So the first part of the Lord's Prayer really belongs to God. I want to talk to you about the third thing that belongs to God in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I need to complete that, and then we will take a pause from what we have been teaching on the subject of prayer. Because if you look at the will of God being done and the kingdom coming, it's almost like merged into one. But Jesus is teaching two different types of prayer through it. So you cannot teach one and not follow up quickly with the other. You can't teach about kingdom intercessory net and not talk about the prayer net of consecration to the kingdom, which we have to throw into the sea of life. Hallelujah. Good. So I want us to understand that the prayer net of consecration is the prayer that brings God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It brings God's will on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know whether you want God's will to be done on earth. I like the way King James put it, to be done in earth. It means that God doesn't want any superficial kingdom on this earth. He wants it embedded, grounded in this earth. Not on earth, but in earth. That's how the King James puts it. Okay? So, the prayer net of consecration is the prayer that brings God's will on earth as in heaven. It makes the heavenly kingdom take over the earth. I don't know whether you want the heavenly kingdom, the standards of heaven, to take over the earth. That is what believers must yearn for and translate into what we call the prayer of consecration. Hallelujah. I want you quickly to note that Jesus did not say, your will be known on earth as it is in heaven. No. He said, your will be done. Can we all say done? Done is a verb. It tells us that God wants something about heaven being practically seen on this earth. But sometimes, nice believers as we are, we think that Jesus is talking about his will being known. So when you know that heaven is a prosperous place, you know it. It's okay. You think it is okay. No. Jesus goes beyond just knowing the will of God, that God wants healing on earth, because healing is in heaven. He doesn't just want us to know that we can be healed on earth, but he wants it done. He wants the actual thing to be an action, something practical in your life. Hallelujah. So if you want heaven to be done in your life, to come practically into your life, then you need to look at this prayer net that Jesus Christ was exposing Apostle Peter to. So through the prayer of consecration, I call it a prayer of consecration to the kingdom. The kingdom is made up of the king and his dominion. They are these two parties or elements that have been put together and summarized to call the kingdom. The king, who is a person, and his dominion or his agenda. So praying the prayer of consecration is accepting to do his will, accepting to practicalize his will on this earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Number two, I want us to understand about this prayer net of consecration is that it's a prayer of switching from the religious to the kingdom. It's a prayer of making a switch from the religious, which is your will, to the kingdom, which is God's will. Hallelujah. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 3 and then verse 20, the Bible says that I stand at the door and I am knocking. Jesus is knocking at the door of the last day church. That scripture was spoken to the church of Laodicea, which is believed to be the last of the seven churches Jesus addressed after his ascension. It begs to make you understand that Laodicea means that men rule. That is the Greek meaning of the word Laodicea. Of course, it's a Greek city. So Laodicea means that men are ruling. It means man's decision. It means man's judgment. So look at verse number 20. Jesus says that, I am standing at the door. At what door? At the door of man's judgment. At the door of the religious. When we say the religious, we are talking about man's version of spiritual things. Man's version, not God's version. God's version is the kingdom one. Because the kingdom is the standard. But man has his own way of going about things. And has his own way of understanding some things. That is what is called the religious. It has a semblance of the kingdom, but it is actually not the standard of God or what God wants. So he says, I'm standing at the door of the last day church, of the church that believes in the judgment of man, the will of man, the rule of man. And I am knocking. If anyone hears my voice, underline my voice, and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. It's amazing. He says that you are religious. You are a religious church. I want you to repent because I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm knocking to do what? For you to hear my voice. It's just not a knock with the knuckles of your fingers, but he is knocking with his words. He is knocking with the kingdom words. At this time, remember, Jesus had ascended to the heavenly kingdom and he came on earth, so to speak, to address his churches on this earth. And he says that I am knocking. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear what I've got to say about your religion. I want you to hear what I've got to say about your will, about your decision. Right? If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him. Underline, dine with him and he with me. What it means is that when he comes in, he is going to break his word for you. In the Christian life, dining is talking about feeding on the word of God. Eating is talking about eating the word of God. So when he says, I will come and dine with you, he says, I will give you a special meal. I will give you my voice. I will give you a meal that is different from man's understanding. That is different from man's judgment. That is different from your will. So, in the prayer of consecration, what we do is that we are switching from our will, which is the religious, to God's will, which is the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that when you get born again, we are to see the kingdom. Bible says, except you get born again, you cannot see. So getting born again is a way, a condition for you now to see the kingdom. Without getting born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Now, when you see the kingdom, we are to dedicate and surrender and consecrate ourselves to it. Hallelujah. And we do that first of all by the prayer of consecration. So you get born again, you are a believer. I believe that there is a certain level of prayer above the sinner's prayer that you must encounter Jesus like Peter encountered Jesus and prayed. It's a prayer that is making you make a switch from your will to his will. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Go to the book of Luke chapter 5, which we read our text. In verse number 8, the Bible says that when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. The Bible doesn't say he fell down at the feet. If you don't read that scripture carefully, you will think that Peter fell down at the feet of Jesus. No, at the feet of Jesus is different. The Bible says that he fell down at the knees of Jesus. Now, most probably, Peter went on his knees in order for him to fall down at the knee level. I hope you understand that. Certainly, most probably, he wasn't standing or prostrating on the ground. I believe that Peter went on his knees and then he held on to Jesus' knees. The knee is talking about surrendering. The knee is talking about dedicating. It's talking about giving up your will for His to be done in your life as it is done in heaven.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. So number three, in the prayer of consecration, you are putting God first and yourself second. This is important because you are superimposing God's will, heaven's will, upon the human one, upon man's one. So you are putting God first and yourself second. Perhaps it begs for me to explain to you that this is not the first time Peter had seen Jesus. In the book of John chapter 1 was the first encounter of Peter with Jesus. So in Luke chapter 5, when Peter saw Jesus, it wasn't the first time they met. Actually, Peter had met Jesus and had given his life to Jesus in a certain way. In fact, he called him master. So he recognized himself as a servant and Jesus as a master. But look at Luke chapter 5 verse 8. In this second encounter, Peter is committing himself to the king. He is putting Jesus first. We can say that in John chapter 1, he wasn't really putting Jesus first. But in Luke chapter 5, he has come to a point in his life where his will is dying, where he is surrendering himself properly, where he is consecrating himself to the king, to the person of Jesus, and to the agenda of Jesus. So he falls down at his knees. He's saying, in other words, I surrender. I consecrate myself. He said, I am sinful. You are holy. I am consecrating myself. And he called him Lord. Lord is a kingdom word. Lord means that you are the owner of everything. You are the owner of my life. You are the owner of my job. You are the owner of my family. You are the owner of my finances. You are the owner of my property. Everything that I am, you own it. Everything that I have, you own it. So at this level in Peter's encounter with Jesus, he was consecrating himself. He was surrendering himself. So maybe you are listening to me. You believe that you have encountered Jesus like Peter had his name changed at the first instance. You get born again. But when you see the king and his dominion, you need to make a certain consecration, a certain surrender of yourself to him. Because the knee is talking about, I surrender all. Hallelujah. So, third of all, the prayer of consecration is putting God first and yourself second. You recognize him as the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. As the Lord of your marriage, as the Lord of your finances, as the Lord of your business, as the Lord of every property that you have. You surrender it. No wonder when Peter came to the shore with a plenty, two boats full of fishes, he left everything and followed Jesus. This is the outworking of his prayer of consecration. It made Jesus take over Peter's life, so to speak, completely. Because our Lord is so gentle that until you allow him by the prayer of consecration to come in, he will not come in. You will wonder in Revelations about the last day church, why Jesus has his own church and he doesn't just open the door and come in and just scatter the people and bring his kingdom. He says, no. My kingdom word doesn't come like that. If you want me to dine with you, if you want to be opened up to the kingdom word, you must let me come in. Consecrate yourself to the kingdom and say, the Lord, from today onwards, I have been born again. Now I see your kingdom. You are a king and you have a dominion. You have an agenda. I consecrate myself to the kingdom, to your agenda. When you do that, then the king will come in and open up his kingdom word into your life, and you will be rich and full of the kingdom word. Must I say, perhaps the kingdom word eludes you. Perhaps you don't even understand. Perhaps you don't even know what they are talking about. You are born again, but you are not seeing the kingdom. You see, perhaps it is so because you haven't answered to his voice, his knock at the door. It's a humble position he has taken. It's a humble response we need. Away from the religion in Laodicea, religious understanding. You want to dine with King Jesus, who has come from the heavenly kingdom. You need to pray this prayer of consecration to the kingdom, like Peter did. I now commit to the kingdom, although I met you and you changed my name, but now I am surrendering this time to the kingdom, which is the net that I must throw into the sea of life. I believe that every believer needs to come to that place where you put the kingdom of God first. I taught you the structure of the Lord's Prayer. Everything in the first instance is about God. It's not about you. Then your needs come, and it ends with his kingdom, his power, and his glory, which is a breakdown of his kingdom. So the reason for prayer actually is for the kingdom of God to come. Because if you understand, for thine is the kingdom. He says that we have to pray our Father to the end because the kingdom is for you. The reason for prayer, the reason for the Lord's Prayer is for you to realize the kingdom of God in your life. And I'm speaking to you, believer, who is born again, that you need a consecration that is going to open up Jesus for him to come in, because he will not come in and give you the kingdom word just like that. You have to make a commitment and say to him, now Lord, I am committing to your kingdom because you are a king, and I must put you first. Like the Lord's Prayer, first of all, is about him. I must put you first before my needs come, before my will come. I must submit to your will. I must submit to you. You must be number one in my life. Peter was saying in Luke chapter 5, I hold your knee, you are number one. I surrender, you are number one. I consecrate myself, you are number one. Don't take it for granted that it will just happen. It doesn't just happen. The kingdom word is not just given to you. You have to make a quality decision that I am a believer. I have seen the kingdom. Teach me more about the kingdom. Let me see the kingdom realized in my practical life, done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. It is not automatic. You need to let him come in. Hallelujah. You need to put him first. The king and his agenda must come first. Because religion will say his agenda and his dominion must be second. Really, I've taught you to know that you cannot separate the king from his dominion. It's not possible. You cannot talk about the kingdom and not talk about the king. You cannot reveal the kingdom of God and not reveal Jesus. It's not possible. They are two words put into one. The king and his dominion, they match on. And if God puts something together, nobody should put it asunder. Don't say that, me, I like the dominion of God, but this kingdom thing, I don't like it. You see that? It doesn't work like that. You need to commit yourself as a believer, this time, not getting born again, but this time to the king and his dominion in your life. He must come first and you will be second. Many people, they put themselves first and then they put the kingdom second. They put their own man's decision, Laodicea, first, and then his is relegated to the background. His will doesn't matter. Their will is what reigns. It's not like that. In the prayer of consecration, you are doing something wonderful as a believer. As it were, you are saying that I seek the giver and not the gift. Because the giver is a person, his name is called Jesus Christ. Peter had to leave all the gifts, all the fish in the shore. By the outworking of the prayer of consecration that he had done on the sea, when he came to land, that thing didn't appeal to him again. Hallelujah. The fishes, the riches, the cars, the buildings, They were nothing to him again. He had them in abundance. He owned them. But they were nothing to him. They didn't own him. It didn't own him. Hallelujah. His heart was still the king. So he left everything and followed the person of the king. Hallelujah. I want you to make a personal dedication to the giver and not the gift. To the caller, to the anointer, because many people are married to the call. They are married to the ministry. They are married to the anointing. They are not married to the person of the king. They are not married to the person of Jesus. So, unlike Abraham, they will not give up what they think God gave them. But God gave Abraham Isaac. But a time came that God said that, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and come and give him to me. I gave you the calling. I gave you Isaac. I gave you the anointing. I gave you the ministry. But I want you not to put the ministry before me. I want to come before the ministry. So when Abraham made a prayer and put Isaac on the altar, he was saying that, Lord, if you demand my ministry, I give it to you. If you demand whatever thing, my anointing, I give it to you. I want to obey you and not the call. Hallelujah. When God saw that, he said, Abraham, because you have done this thing, I know, you haven't held back Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's everything. In fact, he represented God's promises to Abraham, because everything was going to come through. He was Abraham's future. He was his life. And sometimes God will look at things that you call my life, my labor, and he will say, put it on the altar. Will you do it? Will you consecrate yourself unto him? Or you will say, the devil is speaking, and begin to bind the devil. Hallelujah. Number four, in a prayer of consecration, it's a prayer of surrender to God's ultimate, high, and critical call. It's a surrender to God's ultimate, his high, and his critical call. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times, each time repeating, as it were, the same words, that, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. He was praying a prayer of consecration that made him surrender to a critical call on his life. Like Peter surrendered to a critical call on his life to be a fisher of men in Luke chapter 5. All of us, we will come to critical moments in our lives. There will come a moment where your will and the critical will of God for you will seem to be parallel, that they are not meeting. Are you going to be like Jesus? You see, Jesus was praying as a man in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is why his will was different from the will of God. He put himself as a man. When they were calling him Son of God, demons were calling him Son of God, and people were calling him Son of God. When, listen to what he says about himself. He calls himself the Son of Man. He is trying to tell us that he is not super than us, so to speak. Understand it when I say that. Because Jesus died as a man. Jesus went to Hades as a man. Jesus resurrected as a man. Actually, Jesus is at the right hand side of the Father as a man. That is why he can understand you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So Jesus even came to that point as a man where his will was separate from the will of God. The will of God was for him to heal the sick. He was healing the sick. The will of God was for him to cast out devils. He was casting out devils. The will of God was for him to raise up 12 people. He had raised up 12 people. But he had come to a very critical point in his dedication to God, where he has to choose between going on still to cast out devils or going to the cross to die. But Jesus Christ chose at this critical time the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. He prayed the prayer of consecration. You ask yourself, why does he have to pray? And he prayed it three times. Why did he have to do that? If it was God's will for him to die, and his will was that God's will be done, Why does he have to pray it? Why does he have to say it? Why does he have to, as it were, go down on his knees? It is because God will never push you. I am speaking to all of you who are listening to me. You have come to points in your life before where you thought that, well, God will produce his way and get things done. It doesn't work like that. You work out your own salvation. Not working for, but working it out with fear and trembling, because God is working in you to make you willing and able to do his good pleasure. Why does he have to make you willing? Why can't he just take over your life and run it? After all, he is the Lord and you are his born again child. No, he doesn't operate like that. He will make sure that he's working his will in you and bringing you to a point where you have a part to play. What is the human part? For you to say and work out the salvation that he has worked in you. That will that he has given you, the desire. He says, work it out. And the first way you do it is by the prayer of consecration, where you say to God, Lord, I have been running my finances, but I've come to a point where I understand that everything belongs to you. I've come to a critical point in my life where I want to commit to a higher calling to be a fisher of men, a higher calling to die for mankind on the cross. And I am on my knees, Lord. Do with my finances that which you want. And then God will do with your finances that which you want. You experience heaven on earth, ladies and gentlemen. If our master went through it, there is no shortcut. There is no way. He did it 3 times. He fell down on his face. He went down and he prayed, Father, if it be your will. He was teaching us that there comes critical moments where we have to face a higher calling. Higher calling that God has placed upon your life. You need to commit to God, consecrate, dedicate, surrender to him, first of all, in prayer, like our Lord did. And God will take over your finances. He will take over your marriage. You have come to a certain point where you want to yield it unto him for his kingdom agenda to be done. You'll have to consecrate your marriage unto him. Hallelujah. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, prayed before the angel that, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. She was praying the prayer of consecration. She was making a certain surrender that was critical in her life. Pastor, how critical was this? It was a critical decision that meant her life was being put second. Because if you understand what it means to have a swelling belly as a woman without knowing a man, and how, according to the law of God, you should be stoned to death, and how you do not want to commit murder or abort the child. If you come to that point and you say like Mary, a teenage girl, that I am your handmaid, whatever you want to do with my life, you are first. My reputation is second. What do you think about me that I'm a sport girl is second. What my fellow pastors will think about me that I am being led by the devil is second. You come to a critical point in your life where you have to make a decision that you know that your brothers around you will misunderstand you. They will think that you are pursuing your own agenda. But you know that the Lord has told you something is happening to you, and you have to respond to a call of God which is higher than what you have known. And you go down and you surrender and you say that no matter what people think about me, no matter what Christendom thinks about me, I may be put aside, but Lord, I choose you, the caller. You are first in my life and every other person is second. You will come to that critical point in your life as a believer, as somebody who is carrying Jesus. Do you understand that? In a sense, we are all Marys. The Holy Ghost has overshadowed us, and we are all carrying a certain seed. It's a holy seed. His name is called Jesus. When he comes out, People are going to say all sorts of things. When you are fulfilling that critical higher calling upon your life, people are going to misunderstand you. But behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. All of us, we will come to that place. When you do, I've taught you that in such critical moments, what you need is not binding the devil. Abraham did not bind the devil when he was offering Isaac on the altar. That is what is called the prayer of consecration. He wasn't binding the devil that I heard the voice of the devil. No. He traveled 3 days. Do you know what he was carrying? He was carrying the Lord Jesus in his womb. Because Jesus was the seed of Abraham. And Abraham had to take him 3 days to the Mount of God, Moriah, which is Calvary, and slaughter him there. All of us, we will come to that place. The Apostle Paul came to that place in his life. On the road to Damascus, many people do not understand the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was saying in his life that I am going to help God. I'm going to fight all these people who are, you know, that he was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. He was a lawyer. He was very learned. He had built an empire for himself. On the Torah, here comes Jesus saying that you have heard it said, but I say to you, you have heard it said, and I say to you. And he seems to be somewhat discounting some of the things that Paul stood for. Paul said, no. This Jesus is an insurrectionist. This Jesus, we must put him aside so that the things of God will go on. And sometimes in life, in the Christian life, that is how it is. You see people, they vow that I'm going to persecute so-and-so. They vow that I'm going to stand against so-and-so because he is bringing some things that we haven't heard before. He is trying to do some things that are against the things that we have heard for a long time. But it is very hard to kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. When Jesus met him, Paul said, who are you, Lord? That was his prayer. Who are you, Lord? He acknowledged Jesus as the Lord, just as Peter did. Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he put a higher calling upon his life, a critical call upon his life. It meant that his life was going to be in danger. It meant that people were going to misunderstand him. It meant that people, the Pharisees, were going to see him as an outcast. The Pharisees were going to point fingers at him. It meant that even the believers, when he was coming towards the believers, they would be running away. The man with the false doctrine is coming. The man who has come to set aside some things. He's coming. He's coming to set aside some things. But God had changed him. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul went through near-death situations. He had to take an intervention for him to be accepted by the brothers, by the Christian folks. Hallelujah. You will come to a critical time in your life where you are going to have to pray the prayer of consecration. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.